Thank you, Brother Brim. It's good to be back with you guys. It's been, a little over a year, I guess. Time goes by so quickly. We picked up Richard and Nancy last May from Bible school and came through here on our way back to Oklahoma. But a little over a year goes by, and I was talking to Brother Brim on the phone. He says, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, kind of up in your area." He said, "Well, come by tomorrow night." And I said, "Whoa." But then he gave me the okay. He said, "You don't have to do slides. You don't have to do a video. You don't have to do the Haiti thing. Just preach to us." So I think my wife went, maybe, you know, not the Haiti thing. But yeah, it's still the same old video. I have a new guy, a guy coming back to do the video, redo an update in October. And so we're excited about that, to be able to update people on what's happening. Things are happening down there, and we appreciate your prayers and support for the work there. Appreciate the offering tonight to go to help cover some of these four here, their Bible schooling this next semester. So we appreciate the offering, appreciate the opportunity to be here. Also appreciate my mom and my dad to come over and see us, and I got to mention my sister. You know, I got to give her a hard time. I went to Bible school at Ozark Bible Institute my first semester there. I call home, you know, like I did every week because I was supposed to, you know. Now I do it every week because I want to, but back then it was because I was supposed to. And check in with mom, and she's like, "Well, we got you replaced." So I said, "Well, how does that work?" You know, she says, "Well, you're going to be a big brother." I said, "I already am a big brother." And she goes, "You're going to be a big brother again." So that was, you know, a long time ago, as you can see. And so I didn't really get to pick on Emily too much as a, you know, she didn't grow up with a big brother. So every time I'm around her, I try to make up for it that week that I see her twice a year, however it works out, to know what she missed out on not having a big brother around. So I think I've done a pretty good job of it. And even with me not being around, I think she's turned out all right. Of course, it's good to have Brother Rob Adair, my friend. You know, he just reconfirmed some things sometimes. He calls me with some it's supposed to be, I guess, encouragement, but I don't know. I just have to shake my head and pray for Brother Brim. After Emily sang the first time this several months ago, he emails me the next day. He goes, "I heard your sister sing. What happened to you?" And I said, "Well," in so many words, it was something like that. And I said, "Well, maybe I guess I wasn't replaced, because I don't have that singing ability, so I can't claim that." I appreciate them coming over to listen, to be in service with us tonight. Appreciate what the Lord's doing. Let's see, a little different. I'm kind of lost with not the slide presentation set up here, so I got to kind of keep my mind going here. I'll have Richard come up and testify. He's a senior at Free Gospel Bible Institute, so he better testify. He's graduating this year, three-year program. 2 years that went by very fast. He hasn't grown any since the last time he was here, but it's for in the Lord. He's maybe small in stature, but he's mighty. We've been a pleasure to have him back working with us this past summer in Haiti. He ran a summer camp for the middle-aged kids in our home, and anybody wanted to come from the area, but it was mainly for our home to keep them busy this summer. Plus, does whatever I need him to do. And he's also one of them type of guys that when he sees something, he just does it. He don't have to be told. So if you have one of them around, you always appreciate them. And I appreciate Richard tonight. He's going to be graduating in May. We're excited. And then he gets to come back, and I put him to work full time. And I don't have to work as hard. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, I'm glad to be here tonight. And I'm thankful for what God's doing in my life. And in Isaiah 59, verse 1, and there's a verse there that said, "The hand of the Lord is not too short, and neither is his ears too heavy." I mean, I'm thankful that we're serving a great God. You know, no matter what we're going through, sometimes we think we're praying, and we think that God don't hear us. But it says here in that scripture that his ear is not too heavy, neither his hand. No matter the situation that we're in, he's here. I mean, he can stretch out his hand and to deliver us where we're from. I mean, you know, I mean, he said, you know, his ears too heavy. So many times we pray, say, "Oh, God, don't hear my prayer," but he's here, our prayer. I mean, I'm thankful. I mean, for so many times he heard my prayer. I mean, I'm thankful for that tonight. Good to be here with you all.
Amen. Thank you. Richard came when he was 7 years old. You're now, 21? So we appreciate he's a blessing to us. Let's see, how about girls now? Yannick, Miriam, Nancy, come on up. Nancy, you saw here last year, and she's a senior also graduating, three-year program there at Figbee. And she's been doing the little kids summer camp this past summer, plus we're helping with the worship in the church, and there's many other things. She's also a blessing. Been with us since she was 6 years old, 20 years old now. And we're excited once again in May to have her graduate and then come back and put her to work full time. Amen. So Lisa can have a little bit of a break from somebody, have some help. And then this year we have two more that's with us, Yannick and Miriam. Yannick is Richard's little sister. A couple years younger. Yannick's been with us since she's 4, and you're now 18, just graduated in May. Do you claim him as your brother? Sometimes? Okay, you know, he's all right. You can claim him. Do you claim her as your sister? No? Oh, man, what's that all about? We're going to have to work Richard over after church. I think we can gang up on him and handle it. But she's a blessing, and we're excited what the Lord's going to do in Yannick's life this next 3 years as she does the Bible school program there. And then also Miriam, she graduated last year. Did not get a student visa until this year, and I'll probably tell a little bit about that testimony a little bit later. But she's also starting this year, a freshman. You know, I didn't know where we'd be 2 weeks ago or whenever it was, 3 weeks. Now time goes by so quickly. If I was going to just fly Richard and Nancy up to Pittsburgh and get them started for their last year, or if we needed to fly to Oklahoma, and how are we going to work all that out? Brother Bram asked, well, why did you choose to do that? Well, when you bring somebody to the United States for the first time, you need to have a little of adjustment period. You got to introduce them to McDonald's. So we did that last Tuesday for the first time. You know, Tuesday, a week ago, they landed in the U.S. for the first time. That evening on the way home from the airport, had their McDonald's hamburger. Next day, of course, they had to take them to Walmart and see the expressions on what Walmart could be. So now they're Americanized. They got the McDonald's and the Walmart, and we're ready to get them out there Friday, get them enrolled, and then I got 4 of them. It's gone. And a little bit closer there. And Miriam, once again, she's been with us. She was 10. You're 21 now? Okay. And a blessing, big help. Helps with the worship in the church, many other things. Been working as a preschool teacher this past year. And then also helping in our ACE school. And we're going to miss them. But we know that God's opened the door. And we're just excited what he has in store for them. So I've asked Nancy to testify since she's graduating this year also. And then they're going to sing.
Good evening. In Psalm 40, verse 2, it says, he brought me out also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my going. I was thinking about my freshman year at Figbee, how God worked, what he did in my life, and now I'm a senior, I'll be a senior. And then this song verse came to my mind, how God brought me out of the horrible pit, whatever I could have been. Like, I know God has a plan for me. So many times people would remind me, but I can say this is what God did this to my life because he brought me out. I could have went to Bible school, did not accomplish anything, but I'm happy that I did something. I give myself to God. I let him use me so I can say, like David said, he brought me out of the miry clay. And verse 3, and he said, he put a song into my mouth. And I'm so thankful for what God is doing in my life and the new thing. And then I'm excited. I keep telling everyone, I can't wait to graduate and see what God's going to do in my life and to help the Lord. And thank you. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I found you in the mystery, in ocean deep, my faith will stand. Above the waves, when ocean rises, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours.
to am, yeah. Your grace abound in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. When fears may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail, and you won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When ocean rises, my soul will rest in your embrace. For I
never fail us. Appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate singing. Got our main guy in Jude that oversees it in Haiti. His name Jude that oversees everything when we're in the States. And he emailed the other day and he goes, I'm missing everybody, because that's his three main singers in church, because he's the worship leader and he's lost all three of them. We have one left and working in some new ones now. You know, it was our goal when we moved to Haiti. Well, it wasn't exactly at that time, but after a couple years, you know, we've been there 17 and a half years, and we started missions in Haiti over 15 years ago, was to raise productive citizens to make a difference in Haiti someday. You know, we didn't realize that 15 years was going to go by so quickly, Brother Brim, and it went by very quick, and we're here today and looking forward. They went back this summer, and they've already been making a difference in the country of Haiti and the young people's lives. We have three other that graduated this year. Adeline, we thank the Lord for her. 17 years old, finished trigonometry with a 98% average, and I did not help her with one single thing. Finished chemistry with something like something. She says, I feel like for now I need to help you guys in the AC school. I said, yes, you do. Because my son is going to be in 10th grade, and he's getting up where I can't do that stuff anymore. I have forgotten that. So we appreciate the Lord providing those, and we've been able to see them grow up, and that's exciting, you know. Last 17 and a half years, some of them has been pretty difficult. But then when you see some of the results of your labor, just as, you know, in the church and different things throughout the time, you see the Lord using different ones, and that's what it's all about. And we're just excited tonight what God still has in store. We're trying to figure out how many kids is in the home down there now, since we've got four of them up here. We're still around 60 somewhere. We miscount every now and then, you know. But we still have 60. We took another little girl in just a couple months ago. Very needy situation, about a year and a half. She's our youngest now. Came in with pinch marks all over her body. You can tell she's been abused and just had no joy in her life. But she's coming around, and she's starting to get a little joy now. It's neat to see how those things happen. This summer we was very busy. We was able to purchase a little house. If you get our newsletter, you know that. It was connected the property for our school and our church. We needed that, and they're going to use that as offices also, and probably a home for Richard to live in when he comes back and oversee some of the things. And we're excited to be able to get that and got it remodeled, painted, some electrical. Still need to do some plumbing in it, and we're just appreciate the Lord providing that. Just this past Sunday, I was going to the church in Neosho in Joplin, and I was telling Lisa, I said, I really feel like we need to step out in faith and just go for it. You know, you ever feel like that sometimes? I appreciate when the Lord provides the funds and you don't have to rely on faith. You know, I'm just being honest with you tonight. But that, you know, that happens every now and then. Most of the time it doesn't. And he requires you to rely on him, rely on faith. And so I said, let's plan on it. And I said, we got this next school building we need to get out of the rented home. You know, we put the one up in January. So we have moved our high school into it. We have the property we're going to put the next elementary school building up on. And I said, we need the steel building. And so we had the funds provided for the foundation, so we just need the steel building and then the funds to get it shipped down there. I said, let's plan on doing it over Christmas. We're going to come in the year, into October, November, and fundraise for it. So pray the Lord meets that need. We'll send out some newsletters. Pray the Lord meet that need so we can get that building shipped out over Christmas. Talk to Dad about coming down, setting up the slab for the foundation. He said he could be in agreement with to be able to do that. So we, you know, by faith, try to get that in and then get the teams to come down the end of March, first week of April, put up the new building, and it'll be ready for the next school year. Money's not there, Brother Brim, but by faith, I'm stepping out. We're going to try. We're going to push for it. I'm going to tell the teams to get their tickets, and the Lord has provided, been so faithful through so many years now, providing each step of the way that I just really feel like this is him, and he's going to work it out once again. Appreciate the opportunity once again to be able to share with some scriptures with you tonight. I have kind of always have different thoughts here, you know. So I'm gonna try and put it together. Hopefully, make sense. Stay with me before it's all over. Hopefully, we can make some sense of this. It's gonna take a scripture in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. You probably already know that. Some of you could quote it. And then we're going to look at Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 41. If he was going to put a title on this message, I would say, first, sometimes we need to forget, but then all the times we need to remember. So that kind of contradicts itself. Yeah, that's what I was meaning. It's a little different thought. Don't want to be contradicting tonight, but this thought, there's a few things sometimes we do need to forget, and there's a lot of things we do need to remember. So that's what I want to talk to you tonight. Let's read Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, 14 first. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So there we have Paul telling us there's sometimes we need to forget about those things that's behind us. And then we got in Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 through 41. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all the commandments, all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So there we see two different times. It's the word remember. In verse 39, it says, and remember. Verse 40, it says, that ye may remember. So first, let's talk about the Philippians one, if we have a few moments. But I really want to focus more on the remembering one. But there's a few areas we need to forget. So as Paul says, there's been some things behind us that it's time that we forget about. Because we got things before us that we got to work for. And there's three different areas that I've seen in my life and different people and throughout being in the church and ministry all these years. You know, you go to different churches and sometimes it's discouraging. You know, you was at a church several years ago. Presented the work in Haiti, was able to preach, and there was somebody that maybe stood out in that service as being really God's got a hand, you know, his hand upon their life. They were going to do something great. And you go back several years later and you ask the pastor, you say, what happened to that brother or that sister? And he says, they're no longer in church. I say, what's going on? You know, I've ran across that so many times that it gets a little bit disappointing. And I think that's one of the areas that the devil comes behind and they start bringing things back up that these people were supposed to forget so that way they can continue on and being on fire for the Lord. So, of course, the first area that sometimes we need to forget is our own mistakes. Not that we don't learn from our mistakes, but we can't let the devil come by and say, hey, remember what you did 15 years ago. Remember what you did, you know, 20-some years ago, 50 years ago, however long it's been. And the devil will do that if you allow him to, because we've all made mistakes. I know I've made some. I've made things. I've said, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And I know that there's still consequences sometimes from the mistakes that we've made. But You know, that's just one of them things you got to deal with. There is a price of sin, but once you've asked the forgiveness and it's all under the blood, Jesus has forgot about it. And why we allow the devil to come by and torment us with our own mistakes and different things when Paul says, well, just forget about them. Paul, before he became a Christian, he had many things that the devil could use against him. Remember what you did to the church, Paul. Well, that was before Christ, and it's all gone now, so I can get on and do something for the Lord. So Paul says, I'm going to forget about that. I'm not going to let the devil come by. So if there's something in your life that the devil's been tormenting you with tonight, I want to encourage you, it's just time to forget about it, and let's go forward. And then there's another area that sometimes the devil will use, and that's what other people has done to us. Can I unroll my list tonight, Brother Graham? You said act like I'm home. So can I be like to my wife and just unroll all the problems I got and all the things that different people has done to me in the last year, month, week, 10 years, 18 years there almost in Haiti? No, we won't do that tonight. But there has been things that even as a missionary that people has done to me that I need to take some of Paul's advice tonight and let's forget about it. Because it's gone. It's in the past. Why do we have to keep rehashing it and keep going over and over and letting it hinder our walk with the Lord when it's behind us? And just, you know, just for the sake of the message, I could throw a few things out. We had three girls that had rebelled and left, and sometimes that's hurting because we know where they could be tonight. You know, if we allow the devil to come throw that up, you know, the girls that we put 10 years, 8 years, 6 years into their life, and then they hit their teenage year and ran off to live with their sister. And we see what God is doing with these three tonight, and it hurts us, but it's in God's hands. You know, we had that time that we put the gospel into their life, and that's the main thing that we focus on and continue to pray for them, that if nothing else, that they'll make it to heaven, because that's what it's all about. And that has hurt over the years, because we look back and we say, but, you know, we failed with 3 of them so far. I'm sure there might, and I pray there's no more, but, you know, 60, you never know. And one time I told my wife, I said, well, even Jesus had one that wasn't too good, you know, Judas. And so, you know, we can't be more perfect than God, so you're going to have that sometimes. And then there was a young man who was worked up in our ministry down there and was a leader, as Jude was, and was over one of our schools. And after the earthquake 5 years ago, he just started undermining our authority that we wasn't aware of. And after that year, then he took the school out from underneath our authority and did his own thing. You know, I'm just giving you a few brief things, you know. There's been others, but Paul says that you can't dwell on that. Yeah, you can allow that to make you bitter, or you can just forget about it because you realize there's still things out before you that you need to accomplish. And then one other thought in the area that we need to forget about. Now, this may be a little bit different. Stick with me. But even there's some things that that God has done that we do not understand. And I've noticed, I've talked to people, why aren't you in church? Well, you know, God failed me. We think we sang that about that tonight. He doesn't fail you. What happened? Well, I was praying, and God didn't answer the prayer. And God was praying, and God, you know, gave me a different answer. Or I was praying, there was no answer. Well, that was your answer to your prayer. Yeah, I was down at a missions convention this past April, and one of the missionaries got up, Brother Jarvis, is there to preach. And the title of his message was, he gave it right off the bat, was When God Doesn't Make Sense. And I thought, well, all right. This is what I've been needing to hear, because I've been trying to figure this out for a long time, because I know of people that has died that it didn't make sense when people were praying that just recently. You know them too, Sister Martin and Brother Marty. You know them, you know, people that we love that was leaders within the holiness movement. And God, this doesn't make sense. So I'm thinking, I'm going to listen to this and I'm going to get all the answers right now. This is good. That's why I came in from Haiti for this, to get this answer. And, you know, by the time it was all said and done, it was nothing that I didn't already know. His ways are higher than our ways. Sometimes when he does things, it's not going to make sense to us. And we can't question God, but we just can continue to put our faith in him and know that he's under control. You know, so one of the things that I have kind of settled in my heart, and I believe it's from the Lord, is that it's all about souls. That's what God's all about. It's all about people giving their life to Jesus. So when we pray a prayer and it doesn't make sense, God knows there's something else about souls there that we don't see. When we pray prayers and things are not answered the way we think they should be answered, it's all about souls. And we just got to surrender it to God and trust God. And if there's been a time in your life that something has happened and God didn't make sense, Paul says, let's forget about it. Let's just realize that he's God. Don't hold it against him, because he's got a bigger plan. It's something we're not going to figure out, even though there's been many times my small intellect has tried to figure it out. It just doesn't work. So I'm going to take that advice that Paul has given tonight, and I'm going to forget about those things when things that I've done that the devil could use, things that others had done, that the devil could come by and try and hinder my walk, and things that when God didn't make sense to me, but he made perfect sense to him. I understand that, and I'm going to forget about it. Then the other thought of this message is over there in Numbers, and that's when we remember. And this is what I like to really focus on tonight, because now I don't believe in eternal security, but I think if you would practice this, there's no way you can backslide. If you start, when the devil comes by or a problem starts to come by, and you can start remembering, you remember what God has done for you, there's no way you can turn your back on the Lord. You know, Moses, the God gave Moses a commandment there and said, hey, go tell the people to sew some little blue ribbons on their clothes as a remembering of what I have done. You know, it's a thing that's a testimony to their children. It was a testimony to their grandchildren. And as these children of Israel walk around with these little bands of blue sewed to their garments, and the children could say, hey, what was that for, Dad? And they would say, hey, that's when God brought us out of the land of Egypt. Well, what's that band of ribbon? That's when God parted the Red Sea. Well, what's that one? Well, that's when God provided the manna. And if you start looking at those bands of blue that is sewed on our garments, I don't know, we don't have any of those tonight. We look kind of silly. But we should have those mental bands of blue sewn into our mind, thinking back when we're discouraged, thinking back of when we're disappointed or down or having a problem, of the times that God was there and what he has done for us. And if you'd give me a few moments tonight, I'd like to remember a few of these things. Of course, we got to start with salvation. Now, I was a young kid, 8 years old, maybe somewhere around there, and this is the way I remember. Maybe my mom remembers something different. I don't know, but this is the way I remember, so this is the way I'm going to share it. We were sitting there in Winsville, Missouri, on the fourth pew where we always sat, and my cousin was in front of me, and the pastor came down after she preached the message, came up to my cousin and said, you need to come up and give your life to the Lord. My cousin shakes her head and says, I'm not ready. I don't want to. Comes to me and says, you need to come give your life to the Lord. I said, I don't think so. She grabs me by hand, pulls me to the altar, and prays the sinner's prayer with me, and I've been saved. I was saved. And I wrote that in a school paper when I was in high school, and my pastor read it at that time, and she disagreed with it. She said, I've never pulled anybody to the altar. I said, well, that's just the way I remember in my 8-year-old mind. I don't know, but that's what I remember. But I can remember that moment. You know, something happened. I did pray the sinner's prayer. I do remember Jesus Christ coming into my life. Of course, there's been times throughout my teenage years I've going through different struggles, as many times teenagers do, and then I remember the times that I've rededicated my life to the Lord and said, God, it's all about you. I remember going to the community college my first year out of high school, halfway through the first semester, and it just wasn't making sense because I was trying to argue with God about his call upon my life, and then finally I settled it with him and said, okay, Lord, I'll go to Haiti. I know that's what you want me to do. And when I settled, I remember that was just the peace, and everything started working together. And that's been a long time ago. But I got to remember these things, you know, because the devil will come by and say, oh, you know, look, God, what's he done for you? Well, I remember him saving. I remember him when he came by and I rededicated my life and he made himself real to me once again. Remember these times. Of course, the baptism, that's always a good thing to remember. The way I remember, once again, young boy, 9 years old, praying in that fourth pew. They had called the people to come to the front to get saved, or not to get saved, but to come pray. I just got down on my knee, or little pew at that time, and my dad was not in church, and I was praying for his salvation, and I was filled with the baptism. That's the way I remember. I don't know if it's a little bit mixed up, because it's been a long time ago. I barely remember what I did yesterday, but that's what I remember from a long time ago. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the first time I was able to speak in another tongue. And I'm thankful for that experience. I appreciate it. We got the word when Nancy got the baptism her first semester in Bible college. It went to her mom who called us late on a Wednesday night because, you know, in Haiti, I go to bed early, 8 o'clock, you know, bedtime. You're tired. I see Brother Rob shaking his head. I got to have my beauty sleep, brother, you know. We got to get there. And got called late, woke up, and said, Nancy called, and she got the baptism at church tonight. And then, of course, we called her the next day, and she was so excited. That's a marker in your life that you can remember. That's a ribbon of blue that can be sewn onto your garment that you can look upon and say, I remember when God was real to my life. And you do these things, and there's no way you can ever get away from God because it makes yourself so real. It's when we forget about these things and we don't thank him for them, we don't look at these ribbons of blue, that the devil can come in and tempt and get us away from our walk with the Lord. Of course, being in Haiti, there's been many, many, many bands of blue we can sew on our garments. Missionary, financial miracle after financial miracle. The simplest one is, I'll put it out there to you, our monthly budget is not what our monthly expenses are. Monthly expenses is several more thousand than what we have coming in every month guaranteed. Pledges that we can count from churches and individuals. I'm not telling you this to get you feeling bad. I'm going to give you more. If the Lord uses that, okay. I'm just telling you this is what I'm remembering. Every month, there's somebody that God speaks to their heart, and they send that extra check. My mother-in-law, who's been handling my books down there in Claremore, our books since we went to Haiti, she's still amazed every month. Somebody we've never heard said, I heard about the Lloyds. I was praying about Lloyds, not Lords. You know, I've heard about the Lloyds. And God told me to send this extra 1,000. God told me to send this extra 500. We opened up the mail before we left, hit the road yesterday. There was a check from Arkansas. I don't know who the people are, $500. God answers prayer. Making up the difference for what this month expenses are going to be. Now, I would love for it all to be there, and we didn't, But God meets the needs every month. When we look at that, there's no way we can get away from the Lord. There's no way we can say, hey, this Christian life ain't worth it, because I see that God is real. It's only God that can do that. Meet that need every month. Of course, with being a missionary, you got the protection. Well, there's been many times God's hand of protection has been upon us down there in Haiti. I know there's many times God's hands of protection has been upon you. Sometimes you're not even aware of it. Been many times, I guarantee you, I wasn't aware of it in Haiti, but there's been many times that I was aware of it. 10 years ago, this month of October, was when our kids were kidnapped. Miriam also. My three kids are in Oklahoma, in case you're wondering. We didn't have room for them all in the van. I said, hey, do you want to ride 2,500 miles the next week out to Pennsylvania and back, or do you want to stay with Grandma in Oklahoma, Lisa's parents, and not have to ride? They did not want to ride in the car. So that's where they're at tonight. Davy's 15, Hannah's 13. And, of course, Miriam was involved in that. Also, the three of them, 10 years ago. It was a rough night, but God moved. A band of ribbon we can look back on and never forget the hand of God, because it was God. It did not happen without ransom being paid, and we didn't have to pay any ransom for our kids' release. Move ahead 5 years later, the earthquake, 2010. One of the hardest things we've been through since we've been in Haiti. January 12th, almost it was a 7.0, shook you so hard, knocked you down, you couldn't stand up. God had set up so many things for our protection for that particular moment. Looking back, it's something I can never forget. Normal time, normal 4:52 in the afternoon. The sun's going down in the west. I have a 10-foot wall, security wall around our property. So you know what that provides in the afternoon? Provides shade. 10, 12, 15 foot of shade. In Haiti, it's hot. Kids are out playing. They're going to try and find some shade. At that time, 5 years ago, I didn't have a lot of big trees. I got the trees now. They're growing up pretty good size, so they're playing underneath the trees. But that time, 5 years ago, it was the wall that they was playing by. Now, when that earthquake hit, that wall fell all the way around our compound. The security wall fell. Normal Tuesday afternoon, kids would have been playing in underneath that wall. My little boy Sam would have been 2 at the time, going to be 3 the following week. He would have been playing by that wall. It happened. I mean, it was common every night occurrence. My wife's brother, several months before that, said, hey, and Brother Meadow says, hey, why don't we send Travis and a group down and do a kids' crusade for you? I said, that'd be great. You can come down and have a kids' crusade. What date would be a good date? Well, this would be a good date. They were there that week to have a kids' crusade. 52 weeks in the year. It could have been any other of the 51 weeks. God set it up to be that week. Why? Because all the kids were on their way to church, in the church, away from that wall. I believe that was God's hand setting all that up. You can disagree with me if you want, but to me that's a band of ribbon that I can say he kept his hand upon the children that we're responsible for. Why did 200 and some thousand other people die? Don't know. One of them things, once again. But I knew God had his hand upon us, upon the situation, and I'm thankful for it tonight. It's a band of ribbon that I blew it. I'm going to look back on many, many years to come. God has been so faithful. Of course, we can jump ahead to this year. January, the last day of the month, payday. Had a lot of money in the house. Everybody in Haiti knows that they get paid on the last day of the month. That night, I had a group from Denton, Texas, to finish up the school building. I woke up at 1:30 in the morning with a strange noise. Now that, after having two back, they were leaving the next day, the group from Texas, so I've had two groups. We had Joplin come down. They left on that Friday before. The next group came on that Friday. So two solid weeks of group. Let me tell you, I was tired. Groups wear you out. They like to stay up and visit, and tell stories and different things. And you got to keep them busy. While you're there, you got to keep them busy. You don't want them to be slacking, not doing anything. So I was tired. And at 1:30 in the morning, I heard a noise I hadn't heard before. It didn't even stir my wife. She didn't even hear it. I said, that was strange. I said, well, you know, many times I've got up and checked on a noise. I didn't hear the dog bark, didn't think anything, you know, was thinking too much. 80% of the time I walk into the kitchen, you know, look out, open the door, look out, make sure nothing's going on. Never picked up my gun. I hope this is all right, and I hope it don't offend nobody. But that night, I'm sound asleep. You know, you wake up, and you know, I better go check that, and I just grabbed it off the top of my closet there. I had it where I keep it. Walked in the kitchen from here to that front of the piano there, about that distance, maybe a little closer. I kind of look over the refrigerator as I'm going, before I go around the wall, and the window's completely gone, my kitchen window. That's not good. You know, I don't know why my kitchen window is not there. And then I see the guy standing there, you know, dark, pitch black, and 1:30 in the morning, he's looking to see what I'm going to do. Well, you know what you do then. I only had a pistol. I see the brother working the 12-gauge. You've heard my 12-gauge stories before, haven't you? I don't have that story. I didn't even, you know, I wasn't thinking. I just had the 38. I believe that was God, too. So, I mean, you can disagree, but, you know, I believe that's what I need to have at that moment. Of course, shot. And, but long story short, I shot eight. They shot twice at me. No harm done. They took off. Neighbors reported, of course, waking up when the shooting started. They said there was between 12 to 15 guys in your yard that was leaving as the shooting was going. You know, there's more details, but give you the short version there. I believe God kept his hand upon us once again. Yeah, the window got out, but I could have just said, hey, that was the cat, that was the dog, I'm too tired. God had me check. God had me, you know, take the noisemaker with me to make sure that they hit the road. They had masks that they left behind, and, you know, they were there for no good. Later I did find out, after talking with other missionaries, that there had been a gang going around hitting missions. They had hit the 3 Mennonite missions just not too far from us. They hit a lot of Catholic missions. Other missions were being hit. They found out they were an easy target. And then with a lot of, you know, electronics and some cash in there to help the country. And as the missionary I was talking to said, hopefully they realize not all the missionaries are easy targets now. I said, well, hopefully not. But I'm thankful that once again, every, you know, 2005 with the kidnapping, 2010, 2015, three big things that God has kept his hand upon us. It would not have been fun to wake up with some guy at into your bed with the devil's mask on. My wife was aggravated with me. She came in, she told me, she goes, next time you start shooting, wake me up, because it's not fun to be woke up with the shots going off in your kitchen. Kind of unnerving. I said, all right, now remember that, honey. I'll tell the guy, just a minute, let me go wake my wife up. You know, don't work like that. You know, she can wish, I guess. Waking me up like that is not any fun. I'm remembering tonight. Is that all right? Crazy remembering, but we got a lot of stories. Of course, one of my favorite is just, and this is a little bit on the more serious side. One of my favorite stories was when our first year on our own down there in Haiti, we worked with another mission, started missions in Haiti, our first year. So this is our third year in Haiti, first year for missions in Haiti. Not a lot coming in, and not a lot to live on. Many months, the last week, it was pretty bare. We had an old used car, Kia Sportage. And we had bought and was, you know, getting around town and that. Of course, we didn't have a lot of responsibilities. We only had a couple kids at the time. And I don't even know if we had just started taking kids. And the car started acting up. So got it down to the dealer, walked home about a mile and a half. They said they'll call me in a few hours and say, tell me what the problem was. They called me a few hours later and they said, hey, we found the problem. We can fix it for $800 for the part and labor. They didn't realize that this missionary didn't have $800 at that time. I probably thought, hey, you know, I'd be saying, okay, no problem, get it fixed. So I said, well, I can't do it right now. We're not going to fix your car. I said, no. I said, I got to come down and get it. I said, I got to try and find $800, and then we'll bring it back and you can fix it. So, you know, as good missionaries do, I'm complaining all the way down. Lord, what's this all about? God, you know, why are you getting, you know, I know this didn't have to happen because you're in control. This car doesn't have to cost $800. But you provided for us before. I know you'll provide quickly because we need a car to get around, you know, all this and that, praying for that mile and a half. Go in there, pick it up, get it back home, never got it fixed. Worked for another year before I sold it to another missionary who never got it fixed until, you know, he ended up burning it up. So God answered a prayer a different way. You know, we can think back many different things tonight, right? Bands of blue that we all have in our life that God has been faithful to many times. And I think if we start remembering these things, there's nothing that can happen but us drawing closer to the Lord because we realize who's in control. One last story, if you give me the time. got to tell this one because God's great. It was with Miriam and Yannick. If you follow us in our newsletters, Miriam graduated a year ago, went down to the U.S. Embassy. Lisa was able to get in. If you're 18 or under 19, something like that, they'll let somebody come in with you if you're there to represent them. If you're over that, you can't. So she made the cut the first time. Lisa was able to go in. Guy did the interview, asked a lot of questions, handed back, denied. Don't understand why. Lisa gets home, starts searching on the internet, finds out you can ask why you were denied on a student visa. They don't have to tell you if they don't want to. Some will. So she goes, okay, we need to remember that. Next time, Miriam went back for the spring semester. Denied. She said she wasn't allowed to go in, so Miriam was by herself. She said she walked up to the window. The lady asked her three questions. What's her name, what school she's going to, and something else. Oh, you're denied. You know, we don't know why. I believe God has it under control. So we said, okay, Yannick's graduating. We'll try again for you, Miriam, because you both of you have been faithful there. You know, you've proven yourself. We know we can let you go to the States, and we can trust you. So we'll try one more time. So that was the end of July, last week. What date? I can't remember. Something. End of July. So their appointment was scheduled. Lisa was sick. She goes, you go in. You go with them. I said, you know, you go in. I've never been in before. So I said, okay. We walk in. Finally get up to our turn, the two of them, the lady's looking at the computer, typing a bunch of stuff, asked a couple questions. I'm just standing there, you know, minding my own business, just praying, that, you know, believing, you know, everything's okay. Lady goes, oh, you don't qualify. See y'all later. So I remember what we read. So I step up and I said, ma'am, can you tell me what I'm doing wrong? I said, I've got two that's already went to this Bible college. They're here right now working. It's been a great influence on their life. I would love for these two to be able to do that. What am I doing wrong? Why can they not get their visa? As you can see, they've been denied. The one has been denied before. She said, sir, the only thing I can tell you is today they don't qualify, but maybe if you bring the other students that's went and come back and we can see that they're back, that would help you. If you can show some financial records for your mission to see that you really do have the finances to cover their expenses for school and stuff, that could help. I said, like a bank statement. She said, or a tax return. More information on their school would help. So, you know what we do, Brother Brim? We go home and we said, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get all this information together and try it one more time. Had a group from Ryan Ralston's church there that week. They were disappointed. They were leaving. They took up an offering among the young people to cover the $160 it cost to do it. And they said, we got enough money to do one. I don't know what you're going to do about the other, but we got enough money to do one. So my wife goes, well, we're going to pray. We're going to do something different too. We're going to get all this information, and then we're going to have a time every night at 7 o'clock that we're going to pray 15, 20 minutes just for that, nothing else. We're going to, you know, talk to God about this and just, you know, put it in his hands for the next week and a half. So we rescheduled the appointment, got the bank stuff together, got the school information. Boy, I had a packet, Brother Brim, man. It looked good. You know, I was proud of it. I said, this is going to work. You know, I'm going to go in here. I'm going to be a salesperson. And I'm going to sell this idea of why these two need to go to school. So we brought Richard and Nancy with us, got to the gate. Of course, they had to verify that it was okay for them to go in, Richard and Nancy, because they didn't have the appointment. So we had to stand there 30 minutes while they verify. So, okay, Lord, you're in control. I know this is all going to work out because I've got my packet. You know, I've got my information. I've got my everything that I need to make it work this time, and it's going to be good. So we go through the line, get up there. I walk up with my packet, my envelope. And I said, ma'am, and I said, hello, how you doing? Good. A young lady in the U.S., you know, American citizen. I said, we just saw the lady next to you last week, and the girls were denied. And she said, if I brought this information, and she interrupts me. She goes, sir, who are you? I said, I've raised these girls since they were young. Yannick, since she was 4, my wife and I, Miriam, since she was 10, missionary here in Haiti. Sir, can you take the other two that's with you and go wait in the waiting area down there? What? I got all my information. And I did. I looked at her. I said, what am I supposed to do with this? I said, do I leave this or take it? She goes, you can do whatever you want. Oh, brother. You know, so we go down, and the first question I heard out of her mouth to the kids were, how do you know that guy? And I was like, oh, that could be an interesting answer there. No. So we go down the waiting area, and I just said, oh, Lord, I had it all together. I was ready. You know, why? God says, I don't need your help. You know, 3 minutes later, Yannick turns around, and she goes, yeah. So I said, what? Yeah. So the lady says, come back, pick your visa up in 3 days. God didn't need my help. Amen. That's a ribbon of blue I can put on my garment and remember that. Yeah, we are supposed to do what we're supposed to do. But when it comes right down to it, God is in control, church. I'm thankful that he's in control tonight. And why do we have need these things to remember? And it told us there in that scripture, because it says that ye may remember and do my commandments. You can remember and not backslide. You can remember and live for the Lord and be holy. Not only, you know, obey his commands, but you can be holy before God. Why? Because I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I'm thankful that he's my God tonight. I'm thankful I've got many ribbons of blue that I can look back and remember. And I know that you've got many ribbons of blue that you can look back and remember tonight. If somebody wants to come to the instruments, I don't know how to close a service like this other than maybe let's just find us a place to pray and think back. Let's think back. If there's something that the devil's been beating you up about because of what you've done or somebody else has done or what God has done, forget about it. And then just start thinking about what God has really done for you. Think about when you were saved. Think about when you were baptized. Think about when you was healed. Think about when you had finances provided. Think about protection. Let's all stand and just come and let's just praise the Lord. You want to stand, you want to kneel, just whatever. But let's just take a moment and let's just think back. Think about some bands of ribbon of blue. Let's all come find a place to praise or thank you.